sports, politics, life. Joslyn's Jewelry presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
It's with absolutely zero pride, absolute seriousness, and no hyperbole at all, but Mayor Quentin Lucas is about to get some of us killed. It's true, and I'll say it, and I'm not afraid to say it, because we have the receipts on this. Not only is Kansas City, Missouri experiencing record murder rates under Quentin Lucas, not only did the voters overwhelmingly say, no, we don't think a downtown ballpark is a really good idea right now after a mass shooting at a Chiefs parade, not only is Kansas City as unsafe as it's been since the gangsters ran this town over 100 years ago, not only that, now Mayor Quentin Lucas is stating publicly that he wants the illegal aliens that have overrun New York to move to Kansas City. This is a really serious issue. It has gone national. It is on Bloomberg's website. It will become a national story that Kansas City is open for business and Mayor Quentin Lucas wants everybody from New York that is having trouble finding any kind of work or fitting in at all to find their way to Kansas City where he has financial incentives for them. He will help house them. He will help get them situated. He would like to move them here. Because according to Mayor Quentin Lucas, we have a worker shortage in Kansas City, Missouri. Because as he says, it's boomtown. There is so much construction and so much going on in and around Kansas City. And we're growing so rapidly that we don't have enough workers. Now, good things are happening in Kansas City. And I believe that a lot of the projects and jobs that are coming here are because we're two red states. I believe that's where most of construction is taking place in the United States. I just spent 5 days in Austin, Texas. There are 18 cranes in the Austin skyline. Austin, Texas, once thought of as a capital city, a college town, whatever you want to call it, is outpacing Kansas City 5-1, 10-1. There is no comparison between the number of people needed to work and fill jobs in Kansas City versus Austin, Texas. This is a major league versus minor league conversation. And Mayor Lucas is out there telling the world that Kansas City is boomtown and we want the illegal aliens from New York to come here, mostly Hispanic, according to him, workers to come to this community. For what reason? To fill jobs that will lower salaries? You're going to pay incentives? And we know what will happen when you open, when you turn on the open for business sign for illegal aliens. We know what will happen because we've seen this in communities all over America. Somebody will die. Bad people will come here. We will bring in more criminals. I'm not even telling you we're bringing in a higher percentage of criminals. I don't care about the percentages. I really don't. If somebody's in this country illegally and you are welcoming them to your community and they commit violent crimes against your citizens, you have completely shirked your responsibility as mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. And now Mayor Quentin Lucas, who controls Kansas City, Missouri, is doing damage to the rest of us that don't live in Kansas City, Missouri. He wants to bring them to all the communities here. And we're now seeing from Lee's Summit to Lawrence, you know, Liberty, Smithville, all these places, all the way south to Paola and Ottawa. What we're seeing in these places now is everybody is converting hotels and community centers and building these pop-up shelters for migrants, for people, to house people with mental health problems is what we're all saying. We're all doing it. Every community in Kansas City is doing it. We're building mental health facilities, centers for family services, we call it. And the people in charge lead you to believe that we need all this money from all of our taxes for all these family service centers because we have children in peril and bad parents and real threats in our community, which we do. But we are overreacting in the name of that now because what we're really doing is filling these places up with the homeless people and illegal aliens. Kansas City is about to become the closest one to here that I can think of is Denver. Denver is secretly sending people out. They previously said, we're open for business. They become overran with all these people. They can't handle them. They're going broke. They flee to the suburbs. They spread out across Denver. They don't generally leave. Once they come to a destination because they've decided that's where they're going to be, they find something to do to make a few bucks. Legal or illegally, they do that. And people plant their roots. A large majority of people that will come to Kansas City by hearing this will stay. I don't know what this number will be. 10,000 people? 25,000 people? 100,000 people? Whatever it will be, there will be a criminal element to it. They've already committed crimes for being here. They do not respect our law. They don't care about our law, but then neither do we, really, if we're going to be honest about this. And it's not hyperbole. I'm not overstating this. And Mayor Quentin Lucas knows this and doesn't really care. And any leftist that does this doesn't really care. Somebody in Kansas City is going to die because of this. There will be a murder. Somebody will be killed. Somebody will be raped. A child will be abused. People will be robbed. People will be carjacked. Your cars are going to be stolen. There will be break-ins into homes. This will all happen. And for people like Mayor Quentin Lucas, it's collateral damage. He's got a mission that's much greater than your safety and security or your property that you've worked your whole life to attain and protect. This is just unbelievable. What the unbelievable part is these city mayors that do these things. What's Kansas City, Missouri? Three or 400,000 people? 20%, not even 20%, 25%, let's just say it's 20 to 25% of the metro area. That means he's making decisions affecting the other three quarters of us that don't live in Kansas City, Missouri, but this will affect us severely in ways that we've seen play out over the last 3 years all over the country. And I've said this before, Quentin Lucas is a follower. He's not a leader. He's planning his exit strategy. He wants to detract from the poor things going on in his community, the failed Jackson County vote, the crime rate. My God, he wants to get off of the murder rate. He wants everybody to divert their attention away from that. And now he's trying to gain favor with people in high places in the Democrat Party by saying, I'll jump on this train. Now, he's doing it 3 years later than a lot of other mayors and a lot of other cities, but that's kind of what Quentin Lucas does. He doesn't really want the receipts. He doesn't really want the action. He doesn't really want to have to deal with the crisis that he will create by doing this. He doesn't want that. What he wants is political capital. He wants people in D.C. within the party to notice him and understand that he's on board with their mission as well, because this is what Democrats do. This is why they are a better political party than Republicans. They do everything in order to stay together and to be part of the grift. Because for Quentin Lucas, there's hundreds of millions of dollars sitting out there if he plays his cards right. If he plays his cards right, doing everything by the book with the Democrats in power, Quentin Lucas will make $100 million or more. He will become wealthy beyond his wildest dreams. And if people die at the hands of illegal aliens, what does he care? He will gain power and fame and fortune. And that's what Democrat politicians are all about. That's their game. And they don't care about the collateral damage. They don't care about sworn oaths of office to protect, to serve, to lead in the best interest of your citizens. They don't care. They don't care about the laws on the books. They don't care. They care about political gain, which is always, in the end, about the money and the way to get rich. National story, Bloomberg website. Kansas City open for business. He specifically wants the illegal aliens from New York. Mayor Quentin Lucas, he's your mayor. Good work, Kansas City. Says we're boomtown. They need those people here to fill jobs. Boy, that sounds honorable, doesn't it? Wait till we see the crime stats. All right, begin today thanking our new friends at Stroud's and Stroud's Catering for sponsoring the podcast. They have two great locations. I got an email from a listener last week, said he had just kind of forgotten about Stroud's and said, it's my wife, it's our anniversary next Friday night, which I think was last Friday night. He said, we're going to Stroud's in Overland Park. I said, that's awesome. Appreciate that. Let them know you listen to the podcast when you go there. They're terrific conservatives. They're wonderful people. They serve great home-style meals. Stroud's at Oak Ridge Manor in the Northland and 135th and 69 Highway in Overland Park. But mainly, Stroud's Catering is what we like to promote here on the podcast. For your next picnic, for your spring outing, for Mother's Day, for a corporate event, a luncheon at your office, they will even come to your golf tournament or an outdoor event or a big thing that you have, and they'll bring the big, ginormous pan. They will pan fry the chicken on site at your event. It's really different kind of catering. Stroudscatering.com, 913-563-5799. Forget the pizza and sandwich trays. Barbecue is awesome in Kansas City, but it's overdone probably with our catering. How about some Stroud's Catering? Everybody loves it. Stroudscatering.com. We appreciate them for being sponsors of the podcast. A high school student named Christian McGee in the state of North Carolina has been suspended from school for using the term illegal alien in the classroom. Now, the headline here for me is a question. Is this a setup? The English teacher at the high school in North Carolina had a project for her students. It's going to go around the room. Say a sentence with the word alien in it. Now, that seems an odd choice for an English teacher. I'm sorry. If you're going to have an exercise where you go around the room and you want your kids to use a word in a sentence, what English teacher would pick alien? Does this make any sense to anyone? This sounds like a setup to me. And it's nowhere mentioned in these stories. I've not heard the parents say this. I've not heard the kids say it. I've not heard the administrators talk about it. Nobody's asking the obvious question, was this a setup? So they come to Christian McGee, or he says first before the thing starts. And he sees a smart young guy. The pictures of him and his mom at their house and stuff, they look like a well-to-do family, that they're educated, they do well. This kid's a smart individual thinker, kind of looks like a winner. And so he raises his hand and says, use the word alien like space aliens or like illegal aliens without green cards. And that got him a trip to the office, where the administrators deemed that to be offensive and disrespectful and gave young Christian McGee a suspension and sent him home to his parents. Now, my response to this is, what's offensive and disrespectful is for the teacher and the administrators here, their actions. I think they should be suspended. And I think the very first question that should be asked is, what in the world were you doing? I mean, it'd be like the English teacher saying, okay, let's have an exercise here. Use the N-word in a sentence. We'll go around the room. And then the first kid uses it and gets kicked out of school for using the N-word. There's not much difference. Use the word homosexual in a sentence. Let's go around the room. Oh, what could possibly go wrong? How is the teacher not suspended for this? And what about the administrators who administered the suspension? Their actions to me are far more controversial than the young man. And the kid may have been a smartass. I didn't hear it. I used to ask smartass questions in school. I did. You can imagine. You're listening right now going, yeah, I bet he can. I bet he did. And he may have been trying to be funny, showing off in front of a girl. You mean like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards? Ha ha ha, the kids probably all laughed. He may have been showing off. I won't cut that out. I remember what high school was like. It doesn't matter. Was this just a setup? Is the only question that needs to be asked. Because everything is a setup. And the kids are fighting back. There are front lines now. This young man from Spring Hill, a young man from Spring Hill High School, sneaked into the Olathe Northwest Satan Club. This is an after-hour thing. You've heard about the Satan Club in Olathe Northwest. He sneaks in. He uses a stupid fake name like John Johnson. And he goes in there to see what it's all about. because he's curious and he's a rebel rouser. He wants to ruffle feathers. He wants to find out. He winds up on Pete Mundo's radio show describing what happened when he went to the Satan Club at Olathe Northwest, even though he's a student at Spring Hill. My response to all of this is, with Christian McGee in North Carolina, with the kid in Spring Hill who went to the Satan Club, who appeared on with Pete Mundo and sounded like the smartest young person you've ever heard, just like totally on radio, better than 95% of all the callers. This kid was just killing it. He's like 17. This is our front line. Go, kids. We've watched for years some moms take over and get on school boards. We've seen parents become active. That's cool. The kids are the front line. They're learning from good parents at home, right from wrong, and they're going to their schools and they're confronting teachers and administrators who've lost their freaking marbles. And it's glorious. It's fantastic. Encourage your kid or your grandchild to do this. It is not a crime. They may get 3 or 4 days suspension from school. Big deal. If you're doing the right thing, take your suspension. I got suspended in junior high in metal shop for being accused by my teacher of the one talking and causing trouble in the back of the shop. It was not me. And I went to the mat with that teacher that day that it was not me. I chattered. I did some stuff. That day I didn't. And I went to the mat for myself and I got sent home and my mom cried the whole way. They let me back in the next day. They relieved the suspension because the teacher actually grabbed me and kind of pushed me against the wall and everybody in the classroom saw it because I was lipping off back at him, fighting back that it wasn't me. And so it was teacher's word versus mine. I got sent home. Teacher got interviewed about what happened. They asked some other kids in the classroom. Yeah, he kind of pushed Kevin up against the locker in there. Whoops. Teacher got sent home. Fight back. Don't take it. Don't get violent. Don't touch anybody. Do not take any spit from anyone. And these kids are the front line. And I'm hiring a lawyer if I'm this kid in North Carolina. You asked me to use the word alien in a sentence, and I ask you, like, space aliens or illegal aliens? Which, technically, he's now fulfilled what she asked. A question is also a sentence, so he used it. And this is a common term. It's actually written in the laws about illegal aliens. The term illegal alien is American law. It is written down. There are all kinds of people that use it, and it's used in media. And he got sent home for it. I'm suing the district. I'm finding a lawyer and I'm coming after him. And all I really would want, hey, if they can get some sort of financial settlement or lawyer fees paid or whatever, all I really want is the teacher to be exposed for setting up the students, because that's exactly what happened. And anybody with a brain knows it. Just like Olathe Northwest having a Satan Club is setting students up. That is not what school is about. School is not a trap for students. And we're seeing traps all over the country now. These crazy liberals. Oh, we're going to set these conservatives up. We're going to suspend them and send them home. We're going to teach them a lesson because their parents think they know better and they don't know better than us. My God, this is so bad. I want to let you know about a big outdoor furniture tent sale going on right now at Amini's in Overland Park. 30 to 70% off retail. It is ongoing throughout the month of April. And in addition to that, they're having a scratch and dent sale. They have some first come, first serve, brand new floor models with scratch and dent. And this is all kinds of items. This could be a pool table, a shuffleboard table. Every year, they take the model, the floor models out that all the customers have come in and, you know, shot a cue ball or rolled the puck on the table or hit the air hockey or done whatever. All those got to go every year. The savings on them are insane, what they will sell the floor models for. That's happening right now, all over the place. Brand new inventory, out-of-box inventory, floor models, scratch and dent, one-of-a-kind finds, and more. The showroom is packed with complete sets of 2023 floor model closeouts as the brand news come in. And they have the outdoor furniture tent sale taking place, 30 to 70% off, Amini's in Overland Park. Back 9 Development has two great developments going right now that you might be interested in. The Lofts at 1700 in Manhattan off Manhattan Avenue, Brand new condominiums beginning at $249. Terrific idea if you've got some students headed to K-State at some point and you'd like to have the place for them to stay and maybe take in a roommate or two and have them pay for it for you. Wonderful investment opportunity. The condos at Colbert Hills sold out quickly. This is his second condo project in Manhattan. He's also offering the Dunes in Lansing with several 3-acre lots. Perfect place to build your home out of the city and away from Quentin Lucas's nightmares. This is it. Lansing, Kansas is a wonderful, safe community. These are beautiful, big lots around a lake. Contact them. Back9development.com or call TJ, the developer, 785-236-0161. And the $25 extravaganza continues at MyPillow.com. You know that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They somehow were part of cancel culture, and now they're on places like Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. So they rely on us to support this business. These are great products. They're made in America. And right now, he's unloading his warehouse with a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use pillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Six-pack of towels, $25. Four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, $25. And for the first time ever, MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, just $25. MyPillow.com, promo code KKHI, or call the KKHI number, specifically just our number, 800-923-9034. Mention KKI. You get free shipping on your entire order today at MyPillow and MyStore.com. Supreme Court had a hearing on Tuesday regarding January 6th and those that have been convicted of 20 years in federal prison for obstruction of a congressional proceeding on January 6th. We know this was a joke. We know it's a ruse. We know some people just went in the rotunda and took pictures and walked out, and they're facing 20-year jail sentences for obstructing a congressional proceeding. So this has been now appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, because the rigged courts of the lower level need to be corrected by the Supreme Court. And now you're starting to see why the Democrats really want control of the Supreme Court, because they have control of all the lower level ones. And if they can start jailing conservatives everywhere, these things can get appealed to the Supreme Court, and a liberal Supreme Court will shut it all down and say, well, you're a conservative, you're going to jail. That's that. This is how it works. We know this because Al Gore was an election denier. Hillary Clinton was an election denier. Stacey Abrams, election denier. Nothing. Donald Trump's election denier, 91 indictments. We know this. These are indisputable facts. But the law that they used in lower courts to convict these people had to do with Enron. Remember the energy company in Texas in 1992? And this was paper fraud. And what they were doing was they were basically deceiving the government, deceiving Congress, deceiving whoever in the paperwork that they did and the Ponzi scheme they were executing. So this was white-collar crime, and written in there was some language about obstruction of congressional procedure. And so these lawyers took this and said, we're going to apply Enron's Ponzi scheme paper scam and apply it to people who walked into the rotunda of the United States Capitol and say, well, this is obstruction of a congressional proceeding. There was no language in any of these laws pertaining to anything physical, not physical. Like, obstruction of justice is different than obstruction of the Golden Gate Bridge. Those are two different things. We recognize those as two different things. The law they were using was not physical obstruction. It was Enron obstruction, and they applied it to physical obstruction. And the courts, of course, said, fine, lock these people up. So I know how this is going to go. These are going to get tossed out. We're going to start releasing some of these people. They need to do this. Neil Gorsuch is asking questions of the lawyers yesterday and said, I got a question for you. Obstruction of congressional proceeding. Were those sit-ins at Kavanaugh's trial? Were those obstruction? How about when Congressman Bowman pulled the fire alarm? Was that obstruction of a congressional proceeding? When hecklers were in the crowd chanting for Palestine, was that obstruction? And when Black Lives Matter got in there and were doing mostly peaceful protests around the country but got into Congress and were chanting, was that obstruction of congressional procedures. And Gorsuch just got like one after another. He says, I could keep going. I could name 20 of these things. And he's asking the lawyer, is that also obstruction? Did any of these people, he asked the lawyer, did any of these people in the things that I just mentioned get 20 years in prison? And the lawyer just was speechless. There's no comeback to a Supreme Court justice on something like that. So we know how Neil Gorsuch is going to do in this ruling, which will probably still be June before they have any sort of a ruling on this. But they had the hearing yesterday, and they asked all the right questions, and they know the right things. God bless, and thank God for the Supreme Court, honestly. Oh, I got a great email from a listener in Gardner. Her name is Tamala Stockton. And her email is tamalastockton@gmail.com. And this was in response to having Sheriff Calvin Hayden on the broadcast. We had Sheriff Hayden on a couple of weeks ago, and it was interesting. We talked about his reelection campaign. CalvinHaydenForSheriff.com is the website. And Tamala Stockton and her husband, they own a speakeasy in Gardner. She says, Kevin, Glenn and I are the owners of the Forge in Gardner, Kansas, and we completely support the sheriff and his reelection campaign. Each reservation to this private event will come with a meet and greet with Cal and his lovely wife, Kelly, appetizers, and a drink ticket. Drinks on the menu include our special smoked John Hayden's Old Fashioned, an espresso martini with roasting marshmallows, a homemade grasshopper, and many more. We even have great non-alcoholic drinks available. Attached is the invite to the event. So I can't send you the invite, but this is really easy. I can give you Tamala's email address. If you would like to go, there is no showing up at the door. You have to RSVP. There's limited availability of this. It's $250 per person. For Sheriff Calvin Hayden, if it sounds like something fun, a speakeasy in Gardner. It's really cool. It's April 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. And everybody's invited. Buy a ticket, but you got to buy your ticket in advance. Send Tamala an email if you'd like to go. It's T-A-M-E-L-A, Tamala Stockton. @gmail.com. That's TamalaStockton@gmail.com. Or shoot me an email. I'll send you her email. If you're driving right now and you can't write that down, I get it. Send me an email if you want to go to this event for Sheriff Cal, Kevin@kksissues.com. Just shoot it over to me and I'll get you in touch with Tamala. And you'll be on your way to that event on April 24th. Pretty neat deal at a speakeasy. A lot of folks really like the speakeasies, so pretty cool. Thank you. And if you are doing fundraising events for great candidates in our area, I want to hear from you. I'll promote them. I'll just mention them right here on the podcast. And if our listeners are interested, I'll hook them up with you because we would love for them to support these candidates and get them elected in November. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee is, you've heard me talking a lot about this NPR scandal with Uri Berliner, the senior editor. He's been suspended for 5 days. We did a patron podcast on this yesterday. He wrote in his piece, this is really what got him suspended. With declining ratings, sorry levels of trust, and an audience that has become less diverse over time, the trajectory for NPR is not promising. Two paths seem clear. We can keep doing what we're doing, hoping it will all work out, or we could start over with the basic building blocks of journalism. We could face up to where we've gone wrong. News organizations don't go in for that kind of reckoning, but there's a good reason for NPR to be the first. We're the ones with the word public in our name. It's brilliant. The man is brilliant. He has watched NPR go off the rails. 87 employees there registered Democrats, 0 Republicans. Again, everybody can see this. You've been listening to this podcast for a while. I've been talking about defunding NPR for 30 years. We used to have people work at our radio station that would say, yeah, sometimes I listen to NPR on my way in or whatever. I'm like, are you kidding me? You work for a commercial radio station. You're listening, your competition, it's one thing to listen to another commercial broadcaster. Your competition is your tax dollars and the federal government trying to keep people from listening to our station? It's absurd. The whole thing is absurd. I've never liked public broadcasting. I've liked some of the programming from time to time and said, well, that's interesting. I think my kids watched a little Sesame Street when they were little, but I don't listen to NPR. It's always been drivel. It's government propaganda from the left, and it always has been. And now it took this guy saying this for idiot Republicans who've sat on their hands for decades and let this government just move farther and farther left and become this deep state that we know it to be. And NPR and PBS and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting are a major part of that. If you've listened to this podcast, you know from the beginning I've railed on these outfits, asking, why are we doing this? Why do we spend all this money, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into the billions of dollars a year for these people to run these outfits that are clearly just designed to promote Democrat voters and Democrat initiatives? Why do we do this? And now, I can't badmouth Senator Marsha Blackburn. At least she's stepping up and saying something and wants to do something. But my God, it feels like too little too late. And where have you been? Marsha Blackburn wants to defund NPR and PBS and rewrite the rules of how the Corporation for Public Broadcasting receives its funding, that there will be rules in place. And that needs to happen. It needs to be very specific that we will apply equal time to both majority parties in this country. And if someday there's another party that's a bigger majority than whatever, than the Republicans, then it would get the equal time. There's a way to write this and set this up to make this fair. I haven't thought it through. I haven't written it down, but it can be done. That's all it needs to be, is equal time in order for this money to be paid out to these people. On to sports, brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, online at fryorthodontics.com. 14 locations, get your perfect smile for life with Invisalign or braces. Teeth love us. You will too. Your individual goals are all that matters. They eliminate excessive treatment, and they even have some appointments by video. If you like that sort of thing, fryorthodontics.com. Roberts Robinson is home of the lifetime warranty. They're also a great place for rebates on tires. I not only got the $100 rebate from GM for my new tires, I got an additional $75 rebate from the tire manufacturer that I used. $175 in Visa gift cards back to me after getting four new tires for my Chevy Blazer. I'm telling you, you work with Chris and a gang up there in service at Roberts Robinson, they will get you every nickel possible from every source. And they fill the forms out for you and hand them to you and fold them up and go, here you go. It's on its way. There's very little work for you to do to get that money back. They take care of everything because service is everything at Roberts Robinson. Chevrolet, GMC, and Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty. And our friends at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, online at BluemontHotel.com. If you want to get out there and play some golf this spring or summer at Colbert Hills, maybe get on the lake, or if you've got an event, a wedding coming up, rehearsal dinners, receptions, reunions, graduation, football season, make your reservations now, BluemontHotel.com. And Goolsby's, you can make an annual event at Goolsby's where you can pour your own fun right off the wall with 30 taps on the wall at Goolsby's. It's all right there at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, online at BluemontHotel.com. Royals are playing a doubleheader on Wednesday because they rained out on Tuesday night. Okay, good enough. I got a question for you. I've been asking this one. I really feel like I get out front on a lot of things. Why isn't Trevor Bauer in the Royals bullpen? Now here's the latest story. A woman named Darcy Essamonu has been charged with a felony count in Maricopa County, Arizona, for defrauding Trevor Bauer after she asked for $1 million payment claiming he raped her and impregnated her. And she needed an abortion and money to stay quiet about it all. Turns out Darcy also extorted Marco Bresciani, whoever that is, in an extortion racket, and she's got multiple felony counts from that too. Trevor Bauer speaks out on Tuesday and says, now everybody can see the massive lies against me. What do I have to do to get back in the big leagues? Everywhere you turn, the women around Trevor Bauer are guilty. And baseball works really hard with their players. You're going to get extorted. You're traveling all the time. You're in hotels, and the women hang out in the hotels. They want to have sex with you, and many of them, it's nefarious. They will turn back and claim they're pregnant. They will turn back and say you physically assaulted them. They will turn back and extort you for money. They have your phone number. They had sex with you, which is pretty hard to deny. They'll just do that. Think of these, honest to God, think of these as just high-level prostitutes. That's what they are. With 25-year-old horny dudes running around, most of them single. Like, the Royals spent this offseason trying to find a couple married players with children because there are no children on the Royals. They found it in Will Smith. He went out and got Seth Lugo and said, okay, our kids, we know each other and the kids, and we need some other kids running around here. It's a thing. It's a team full of 20-something single millionaires, and the girls hang out at the hotels everywhere. So if you think I'm going to sit here and badmouth Trevor Bauer for being really creepy with his sex life, I'm not. And I'm not going to tell you, if I was Trevor Bauer and 24 years old and a Cy Young arm and single, that I wouldn't have been with all kinds of girls too. I might have lost all kinds of ways in my life. Who knows? I've seen it too many times. It happens. Trevor Bauer is older. He apparently didn't do anything wrong other than have kind of a weird sex life. That's it. And so he's not in Major League Baseball. And now another one is caught, and this one is arrested and charged with felony charges in Maricopa County, Arizona, for extorting Trevor Bauer. How many times do we have to hear that the woman was extorting Trevor Bauer? Now, is he a gullible sucker? I don't think so. I think he's a pretty smart guy. I think he's just a horn dog. I think he just, everything that moved, ever. And if you're talking about hundreds of women, which you probably are, the small percentage is going to extort you. And you're going to have a problem on your hands. But I'm guessing that's exactly what Trevor Bauer did. I'm guessing he was literally with hundreds of women over the course of years, if not thousands. And a handful of them came after him and accused him of rape and assault and all these other things that he's clearly not guilty of. How is this happening in America? Why are the men always disbelieved? Why is it instantly, woman claims something against man, man is guilty until proven innocent? How is this happening in the United States? And are we going to put some laws on the books to lock these women up for extortion? I mean, really lock them up. Felony charges, federal prisons, hard time with killers and all kinds of crazy people. That is the only way to stop it. Trust me about women, about this one. These young women, these predators, these female predators that are after these rich men. Oh, trust me on this one. You lock a few of them up doing hard time, that'll be on Instagram and TikTok. They'll know that they can't do this anymore. But their game for the last 20 years has been, they're never going to do anything to us for lying. How many thousands of women out there got $1 million and got away with it? And now they're charging some of them. But you got to do some hard time here. We got to have some real stories. And we got to change the conversation about the real crime here. And that is consensual sex, where the woman turns back and claims something on the man that didn't happen in an attempt to extort them. Trevor Bauer should be the Royals' closer. That's my very strong belief. The Royals are really good. They got a doubleheader going against the White Sox, a really bad team. Brady Singer's going to pitch. That's always fun. Sorry, it's always fun when Brady Singer pitches. So he's going to pitch. Here's a clip for you. This is from, you're going to love this. This is from MLB Network. It's Dan O'Dowd. He's a former general manager. And he says right now, with the Kansas City Royals and a changed division, get this. This is a whole description of what the Royals have and what's happened already 10% into the season with the division, and why the Royals now, it sounds like he believes, are the favorite to win this division.
It's check, check, check all the way up and down the line for him. So if you're a Royals fan and if you're the front office, I think you're really encouraged. Bobby Witt right now for me is playing as well or better than any one individual wow. player in the game. He is 90 percentile in hard hit rate, barrel rate, and sprint speed. Mike, like, you do those things, you're going to win an MVP if you do those on a consistent basis.
I mean, he's MVP caliber. He brings so much to the table in so many different areas.
And he's like, Roflo, it's the contract for me does a lot of different things.
Yeah, you
things.
Mentioned that.
I think there's a freedom in his game that wasn't there prior. Obviously, he was a young player, but I also think it locks up players around him to know, I'm going to play with this guy for a long period of time, and we have a future together. Then I think you look at some other things, like their starting rotation. I think they're second in the ERA in the American League. And I think the one guy there that I look back at, and this is their percentile from a offensive standpoint. Melendez has bounced back,
yes.
Mike.
Yep.
He's playing really well. But it's the starting pitcher's ERA. I mean, stolen base, they're first. Stolen base, starting pitcher ERA, they're second. So to me, from a starting pitcher standpoint, the one guy I want to see bounce back was Brady Singer, because I felt like he had the tremendous upside. Now, he's having a tremendous year. I thought J.J. Piccolo's acquisition of Reagan's a year ago,
yeah.
They legitimately have a 1-2 punch right now.
No doubt.
That I think is very, very sustainable. And I think they filled their rotation with smart free agent signings in Lugo and Waka. So I think you see a little bit of a future unfolding there. I mean, they still aren't a complete team. There's still holes offensively that may show up at some point in time. Their bullpen doesn't strike anybody out,
okay.
But it doesn't walk anybody either. They've caught the ball relatively very well. So I think in the American League Central, the Twins were the favorite. They've lost Correa, Lewis, Kepler, DeScalfani for the year. They have 11 players on the DL. The Guardians have already lost Bieber. Everything has changed in only 10% of the season in that American League Central. I think if you're the Royals, you look at it and say, hey,
why not us?
We've got some confidence now. Let's continue to grind out day in and day out. 84, 85 wins, you may win a division this year.
Well, that's just a beautiful thing to hear from an outsider, isn't it? Can you believe this is happening with the Royals this year? I can't. I can't even believe I'm saying this. I expect them to sweep this doubleheader. I'll take the split. That's 2 out of 3 in Chicago. That's nice. But come on, it's the White Sox. They're playing terrible. Go win 2. Go get them. Sweep this thing. Sweep the doubleheader and sweep that. I can't even believe this is happening with the Royals. Time Magazine has put Patrick Mahomes on the cover of the 100 most influential people. Patrick Mahomes is the least influential person I've ever met in sports. And I'm not insulting him. I want to restate this. Patrick Mahomes belongs on a lot of top 100 lists. He belongs on a lot of magazine covers. This is Time Magazine trying to stay afloat. I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, The Star, more and more often their stories are about food and sports because nobody wants to read the leftist drivel. And so Time Magazine knows nobody wants to see the leftist drivel. But there are sports collectors out there that will buy the actual physical magazine to have the Patrick Mahomes cover. Patrick Mahomes on the cover of Time Magazine of the most influential people in the world. And I can't think of a worse list for him to be on. What is Patrick Mahomes influential about? He can't get his wife to stay off social media. He can't get his brother to shut up and stay out of trouble. He runs around and pays for all the legal bills for his brother and his dad. He doesn't take a stance on anything, which is fine. He's staying out of the fray. He's not going to say anything about the election. The closest thing he has to being influential is the photo he has on his Twitter page is the giant American flag stretched out across Arrowhead Stadium, which is the exact same photo I used to have on my Twitter page. And I can't imagine a liberal doing that. His mom is on the Trump train. What exactly is Patrick Mahomes influential in? Are dudes that actually buy, like, I don't know anybody that buys Hugo Boss suits. So the people that buy Hugo Boss suits, are they really buying them because Patrick Mahomes is doing a little social media meme? Has Adidas stock gone up? Did I miss something? Is everybody buying Adidas now because of Patrick Mahomes? Did you switch your bank to Community America because of Patrick Mahomes? I don't know anybody that did that. What is he influential in? He stays out of having an opinion. He does not want to have an opinion. He's apparently not very influential with his teammates like Rashee Rice, teaching them right from wrong, and nor is that necessarily his job. I'm not saying it is. But if you're going to champion someone as influential, you would think this is an exceptional person that has changed lives with something other than money. I don't doubt that his foundation has done great work. I don't doubt that at all. And I don't doubt that he cares about the foundation and the kids and the things that he does. And he goes and does that. But that's not influence. That's just, I'm rich and I can help. Who does Patrick Mahomes influence? I don't know one person he influences. I can't imagine making a most influential list. He's the least influential athlete I can ever remember. He reminds me a little bit of Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez would talk for a minute and a half and say nothing. It was an art form, man. He was great at it. He was really great at it. Mahomes is kind of the same way, and he's been trained to do this. It was from day one with his agents, and they were very open about it. We're going to market this athlete. He's going to make more money than anybody ever has. He's going to be a brand, and we're going to protect that brand, and he ain't picking sides. And that's where Patrick Mahomes is. And at some point, he's going to be older, and he's going to be really rich, and he's going to say, I don't care about my brand anymore. I'm going to speak out. And then you know what's going to happen? He's going to sound a lot like Aaron Rodgers. That's coming, because Patrick Mahomes is conservative. And then Time Magazine will rue the day that they put him on the cover. Oh, I like this story, this clip. Alex Smith was on a podcast on NFL Radio. I got a great clip for you here. Alex Smith was talking about throwing passes to Travis Kelce and how he never ran the line. He never ran the actual play, that you had to understand and know Travis Kelce because he's completely unconventional as a tight end, and it never would have been allowed anywhere else other than with Andy Reid. This is great stuff. Alex Smith on the great Travis Kelce, eventually calling him here at the end the greatest of all time, and how this would have never happened without Andy Reid.
I don't think he could have gone to a better place than with Andy Reid. You know, to talk about a guy who got him, who understood him, you know, that all that was Travis Kelce and that is and lets him be him. Like, one of the amazing things about Andy Reid is, like, he doesn't try to put guys in a box. Right. He never tried to squash Travis's personality on and off the field. Again, I asked Travis about it. Like, I had never seen a tight end break into choreographed dance like when he scored touchdowns. And like, and now it's just another thing we see from Travis, you know, like, yeah. And again, the creativity and the improvisation that Travis plays with, like, this guy never runs the line on the paper, Bruce. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially as a young player, you come in, hey, you got a 5 yard out. And so many young players are so robotic. They got, hey, I got an inside release. And then I got to push up 5 yards. And then I got to break out. Like, Travis never runs the line on the paper, but he's always open. He understands leverage. He understands the matchup he has, the uniqueness. Am I going against a corner, a safety, a linebacker? Is it man? Is it zone? Like, he's a guy that used to play the quarterback position. So I think that really helps him. He constantly has such great vision and understanding of the play and how to combat it. And you look at some of these routes. I'm sure any fans seen them. Like, some of them look horrible. And again, as a quarterback, I'll never forget, like, there were times like he's supposed to break out and he doesn't, but he's open, Bruce. And he still deserves the football, and he made the right decision. And I think if he'd have gone anywhere else, I don't know if he would have reached that potential. So it really is this great marriage there with Andy Reid and Patrick and him. That's really seen him again become, I don't think it's really an argument anymore, the greatest receiving tight end of all time.
Alex Smith pointing out that Travis Kelce is the greatest tight end of all time. I think he will absolutely be remembered that way. I have no doubt about that. And he's not done yet. He's not anywhere near done yet. I used to interview Alex Smith once a week, every week for 6 years. And Alex Smith was an interesting guy to talk to. He was very smart. Our conversations not on the air were much better than the ones on the air, because he didn't want to say anything. And I would have bet my last dollar that after football, Alex Smith was going to try to find something in football where he would be affiliated with it, because he loves the sport somehow, but not full bore. I don't think he's a family guy. I don't think he ever wanted to go in full bore. And he'd be bland and not say anything. And he's not that. He's changed. He's saying things, which is cool. But he will never say anything critical of the Chiefs. That I can promise you. He'll say critical things of other quarterbacks and teams that he didn't play for, but he will not say anything critical of the people that paid him, which is where you kind of got to understand the game with professional athletes. Great stuff there from Alex Smith. Really nice guy. There's been a leak of a memo concerning a college football super league that would involve 70 teams. There's been talk about, what are we going to do now in college football going forward? We've had all this realignment, all this other stuff. This is unbelievable. Okay? This league that comes out, and apparently the powers that be have drawn this up, it's 7 leagues of 10, which is perfect because you play the other 9 teams. 10's perfect. We've always known 10 is perfect. 10's perfect. You play the other 9. You have a champion. Then you can play a title game or not. I'm guessing if you expand the playoffs, you get rid of the title game. You just have a regular season champion, and that champion's automatically in. Whatever. When we get to a 16-team playoff, you would see that these seven would be in, and then there would be nine at-larges. Okay. I think everybody'd be on board with that. Here's what's crazy. It's a seven division with 10-team setup. Missouri, in this, is basically in with a bunch of Big Ten teams. So they're out of the SEC. They're going into it with the Big Ten teams. KU and K-State are in a mixed league. Yes, they get Iowa State, they get Colorado, they get BYU, but they also get Big Ten teams like Nebraska and Minnesota. They'd call that the Plains Division. And it goes across the country. And imagine this. They've done this, this new setup, which they're thinking about doing. They've done this, this is crazy, with geography. You're going to play the schools closest to you, and you're all part of one super league. We just have divisions. College football is so stupid. Whatever's old is new again. This has been around for 100 years. That's what we were. This is exactly what college athletics was. All you had to do was rename them and bring them all together and say we're all a part of one league. We could go back literally to what it was 40 years ago. Right now, and put those teams back together. All the traditional rivalries, everything. Put them all back together and call them these divisions and say it's all one part of Super League. It's funny because these people think they're reinventing the wheel and they're just going back to whatever's old is new again. I'm for it. I think this is great. I think Missouri gets gypped a little bit here and would have to get involved and say, look, we want to be in the Plains or the South. If you like the SEC, you want to be in with them or you want to be back with your teams in the Plains. This is farming them out now to a place they've never been, and that's with all the Big Ten schools. And maybe they'd like that, but I doubt it. There's no rivalries there. That's just moving around again. So pretty interesting thing floating around online. Our final today is brought to you by Buck Disposal, online at buckdisposal.com. If you work in construction or anything that has to do with loading up giant bins and having them hauled off, you probably work with a corporate entity out of town and you have poor service. Contact buckdisposal.com for better customer service. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. Online at crosskitchenskc.com and greatlifekc.com. Play more golf. There are golf and fitness memberships available all over Kansas City. They also have classic member courses like for one low price from Leavenworth to Blue Springs or daily fee courses if you just want to play one time this summer. Go to Great Life Golf, log on, find the course near you, and go play some golf. It's good for you. It's fun. You don't have to be good. And Great Life would love to have you. They're welcoming people. They take great care of their golf courses, and it's a fun experience. GreatLifeGolf.com. Our final takes us back to Travis Kelce. It has been announced that he is the new host of Amazon's game show, Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? This show used to be called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? But now it's Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? It's a game show where they ask sixth grade level questions of contestants, and somehow it's paired up or working with celebrities. Not sure how, but Travis Kelce is your new host because of course he is. And this is Amazon trying to get a foot in the door with the Kelce sweepstakes because they're going to want him when he retires to be part of their broadcast. You just watch. That's who they're going to want. And this is them getting in the door, paying him while he's still playing to host a game show. Our final today, Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.